today on the Beginner Photography Podcast.
But I remember I did their maternity session at a place that was really far from my house, and like I didn't charge extra for it. And then they wanted their newborn session in their home, and it was a really dark space, and it was a dark, rainy day, and they wanted to do it when the husband was home from work, so it was late in the afternoon. Wow. And I just remember making all these concessions, and I just remember thinking, okay, this is a lesson learned. It's time, you know, I'm the expert. It's my job to tell them what I can and can't do.
Welcome to the Beginner Photography Podcast with Raymond Hatfield, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your photography skills. Raymond interviews the world's top photographers in their field to ask questions that will get you taking better photos today. Now, with you as always, husband, father, home brewer, LA Dodger fan, and Indianapolis wedding photographer, Raymond Hatfield.
Hello and welcome back to this episode of the Beginner Photography Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Raymond Hatfield, Indianapolis wedding photographer, and I'm excited to be here today because my job as a wedding photographer doesn't, I get asked sometimes from couples to shoot maternity photos or newborn photos, and sometimes I do them. Like, it really depends on the couple and how well we fit together for their wedding, but in general, like, I don't advertise for these things. And today, it's just because I'm not like good at them, right? And today I'm chatting with Allison Winteroth, a newborn photographer who just shares it all and got me really excited for newborn and maternity photos. So if you shoot two of those things, get excited for this interview. And if you don't, trust me when I say that you're going to learn something new. So again, this has been quite a week. For me, several things happened. First of all, yesterday we got 8 inches of snow, which is actually pretty late for this time of year for Indianapolis. I think I saw in the news that usually that the average for this time of year, we should have 10.5 inches of snow. And I'm not complaining that we weren't getting any snow, but there was something missing from like the winter experience since moving here to Indiana. You just kind of get used to the snow for this time of year. And it was missing. And yesterday it all came, all of it. But the low point of the week is that this week I actually lost 2 wedding bookings. And I wanted to talk about this. This isn't usually something that I, you know, like, hey, let's, you know, like, let's share this information. And not that like I'm scared to share it, but I learned a valuable lesson from this. So I lost 2 wedding bookings this week, and one of them was because they thought mirrorless cameras were lower quality, like they produce lower quality than traditional DSLRs, which is wrong. But 2. I lost because of price. And this is something that you are going to have to go through if you are a photographer of any kind who charges any sort of money, is that no matter the skill level of your photography, no matter the quality of your photography, there will always be people who don't, there's going to be some gap. Right. There's always going to be some people where there's going to be a gap in the price. You're going to charge what you charge, and they are always going to think it is incredibly expensive. And it doesn't even matter if you've booked, in my case, hundreds of weddings that, the couples were more than happy to pay that price. There will always be somebody who will think that it's too expensive. And what was really hard about this one is that we met over coffee and their wedding sounded wonderful. The couple was a blast to be around. I knew right away. I was like, this is a great couple. They're going to be so much fun to be around on their wedding day. Their wedding day is going to be a blast. They're making it like really personal for themselves. This is totally my kind of wedding. This is my kind of couple. And I got this in the bag. We left super high note. They were super excited. Really appreciated all the help that I gave. I gave recommendations on a videographer and DJ as well. They really appreciated it. And I had some information in the form of blog posts that they said that they found extremely helpful for their wedding. So I guess I just assumed that I had it in the bag by the end of the our meeting. And there was no talk of of price being an issue, right? There was no inclination that that it was more than that they wanted to spend. I had sent them my pricing sheet way before we actually met, so they knew what my prices were, and they still decided to meet. Didn't seem like a problem. And what was hard here was that, you know, obviously after we met, they sent an email saying, hey, you know, we really enjoyed spending time with you. But it came down to you and one other photographer, and we ultimately decided to go with the other photographer just because of the price. And that was a hard pill to swallow. It was a really, really hard pill to swallow. Mainly, first, because I really enjoyed the couple. I thought that we had a great time together, and I knew that their wedding was going to be great, and I really, really wanted that wedding for those two reasons, right? Because I want to have fun at my job, right? You know, you show up, you meet a couple, and they're a blast to be around. You naturally want that. You want that. And two, because the objection didn't come up until after the meeting, after I had sent the emails, after the meeting. And that's what's hard, because, you know, if I was there at the time, right, we could have talked about it. I could perhaps explain more why the value is there. I could explain, I could even make some changes, right? So sometimes a couple want, you know, they don't really want the album, but they really want engagement photos. I'm more than happy to swap those two things out if that's what they want, you know? And nothing like that came up for me to solve for them. So that was really hard. That was really hard to deal with. And that's something that you are going to have to deal with, right? As a photographer, like I said, who does charge money, and I had to stick to my guns though, because, and it wasn't an ego thing. It wasn't like, oh well, you know, you guys don't value photography, so screw off. You know, it was nothing like that. There was none of that. But I had to stick to my guns. You know, I decided not to give them a discount, even though that was my first inclination. It was like, oh, you know, if I knock off a few $100, then I bet I could book this wedding. But I had to stick to my guns. And again, it wasn't about ego. It was because I know my price. And I know that there are couples more than willing to pay for it. Couples who are happy to pay for it because I properly communicated the value and it fits for them, right? And I know that price is competitive and profitable for me. And by lowering my price, all that I would be doing is just taking money out of my family's pocket, right? And that is something that I'm just not willing to do. So I had a rough day. Like I threw myself like an 8-hour pity party, essentially. And then I just got over it. I just had to get back to work and do what I do. So that was tough. That was tough this week. And I just want you to know that if you know your pricing, if you know that it works, if you know that it's what you need to be profitable, you can stick to your guns. And luckily, this episode could not have come at a better time to remind myself of that, which you are going to hear in this episode. It's a lesson that you're going to take away and that you're really going to appreciate. So today I am interviewing Allison Winteroth, who is a newborn photographer in Tampa, Florida. And we cover so much in this episode. Like I said, even if you're not a newborn or maternity photographer, you are going to get a lot of great information out of this interview. With that, let's go ahead and get into today's interview with Allison Winteroth. Today's guest is Allison Winteroth, a Tampa, Florida-based self-proclaimed baby whisperer. She's a newborn, maternity, and family photographer who loves to photograph the newest and tiniest humans to help preserve the hectic time of life that having a child is. Today, I'm super excited to talk to her about getting started working with newborns. Allison, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Hi, Raymond. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Like I had just told you right before we started recording, there's a lot of people in the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook group who I myself am a wedding photographer, so I feel like a lot of times I ask questions that are framed around wedding photography, and a lot of times I get feedback from the group saying like, hey, this was a great interview, but maybe you could mention these things, or maybe you could bring on some more of these people. And as a newborn and maternity photographer, I am so excited to have you on today. You're very accomplished. Just looking at your website, looking at your Instagram, looking at all of your reviews online, It's clear that you know what it is that you're doing. But before we get into all the meat and the potatoes of this interview, I always love to start with the beginning look of my guests. And I want to know how you got started in photography in the first place.
So I have kind of a long story and kind of a different story. So I started my business in 2012. However, I was taking photographs. I used to make jewelry. And so the way that I learned photography was I was taking product photos of my jewelry. And so I started on Etsy, like what Etsy was just this little tiny nothing and nobody knew about it. And then eventually I had children and I fell in love with photographing their faces and their reactions and just how an amazing time of life that can be. The way that I really started my business, so I transferred my skills over to photographing my children and really fell in love with that. But in 2011, my husband changed jobs and absolutely despised every moment of his new job. And he would go to work before the children woke up and he would go to come back before, after they had already gone to bed. And it was just grueling and he was miserable. And so we just looked at each other one day and I was running a different business that we own. And he just said, I can't do this anymore. I have to do something different. And so I said, well, I've always wanted to start a photography business. And so he took over the other business and I started my portrait business. But I knew from the very beginning that it had to succeed because we had to feed our family. And so it was never a side business or a joke. It was always really serious. Not serious, but, it was...
With the intention of making an income. Yeah.
Yep. And so I went from 0 to 60. It was like, I knew the photography end, but I didn't know anything about, starting a website and doing things online. And I just had to hit the ground running and figure it out. So that's how I got started. And pretty quickly, I knew that I wanted to specialize in newborn and maternity. I just really loved that phase of life and young, really young families. It just speaks to me.
Was it because you had new children at that point that you felt compelled to photograph them?
Probably. That probably is a big part of it. However, now my children are older and I still really love that young stage in life. I have an 8 and a 6-year-old, which isn't that old, but they're out of that really cute saying silly things. But I still really love that newborn and maternity age. I haven't grown out of it yet. So maybe when my kids are seniors, I'll get into senior photography or something.
Follow the market for sure.
Yeah.
I want to know though, when you first got started, shooting products for your jewelry-based business, was there anything, I want to know what the hardest part about the photography side of it was for you to learn or understand?
So I think back when I first got started, there wasn't so much online. So you couldn't just, you couldn't just go onto YouTube and, I can really remember the day when I figured out what the exposure triangle kind of meant. And I didn't have to shoot everything at 1.8. Like if I, stopped down a little bit that, to 2.8 or 3.5, then I would actually get everything in focus, which was just totally new. Or I wouldn't have 50 out of focus images for one really sharp image. So I think just not having a lot of questions and not really having a good resource to find those answers out. And now it's there's just so much out there. It's amazing, how to get started like that. I think just really understanding aperture and exposure and how those things connect with, making a really sharp, good image and when to use them, selectively.
Right. Do you remember how it was that you came to understand the exposure triangle? You said that, there wasn't much internet searching going on.
Yeah.
Were you using a course or a book or anything in particular?
No, I had my camera out. I can literally remember I had my dining room table and I was taking pictures of this ring and, I I really loved the setup, and I had done it a couple times, and every time just the images were not sharp, or there were a lot of out of focus ones, and I just wasn't getting, it was, you know, misfocusing. And so I was like, okay, I've got to figure this out. So I just sat down at my table and I just would take a picture, write down my settings, and then do that several times, and then go take that card, go put it on my computer and look and see, okay, this doesn't work. This setting doesn't work. 1.8 isn't going to work. And, you know, just then going back and trying the next settings until I really figured out, and I just felt very comfortable. Okay, this is what I need to do to make a good in focus and sharp image. And so it was just like time over and over and over again. So it wasn't really a book or, you know, anything in particular. It was just practice.
Yeah, practice.
Yeah.
I love that. I think that gets lost a lot of times, honestly, when you talk to photographers, like new photographers. There's this desire that it just like, oh, if I watch this one course or read this one quote or something, like I'll totally understand photography. And it's, you know, I'm glad to know that I wasn't the only one who struggled trying to, you know, pick up these things. And if anybody's listening, like, you're obviously not alone.
And, you know, I still struggle. I've always been very relying on natural light, and the last 2 years I decided that I needed to be able to photograph in any conditions, and so I made it my goal to learn studio lights, and I started with a constant light. But when I moved to strobes, it was like, I thought, oh yeah, I'm just gonna go, I've taken some classes, I'm just gonna go out and take these absolutely gorgeous images, and then you're like, this is not so pretty, you know, I have to practice at this again. You know, it's a weird feeling, but you know, it's good to do that.
Yeah, and it's exciting. Something new is always exciting. That's why I always envy that stage for beginners of like everything, like every day there's something new that they get to learn. And eventually, as you know, and like you start to get to this point to where it kind of just becomes all about repetition. But then when you find something new, like studio strobes, it's like, whoa, here's this passion again. Like,
yeah, it gets so much fun. I remember when I started photographing people, because that was so different, I found the forum Clickin' Moms. Have you heard of
that
before?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So I would pick a topic that I really wanted to learn about. And because when I was doing jewelry, I wasn't really editing. It was very simple, clean editing. I wasn't putting, you know, I think everyone starts with a lot of filters once they start, you know, a lot of actions and things. So I remember just picking one topic and just looking at every forum post I could find on that subject, and then just like spending the week learning about nothing but how to edit in Photoshop, or, you know, and just really get familiar with it. So yeah, I mean, it's a lot of fun, I think, to do that. I like research. I like the hunt.
That's a really smart and systematic way about going to learn photography. That's awesome. That's awesome. Switching gears now, I want to go back kind of to now where you are today, right? As a newborn photographer, it always fascinates me to hear other photographers. I want to hear in your own words, what do you think the main goal of a newborn photographer is?
I think the main goal of a newborn photographer is to capture what that baby looks like when they are 2 weeks old or 3 weeks old or 1 week old. Exactly their facial expressions, their stretches, the way they hold their hands, the way that their skin looked, and the way that their family reacts to their arrival. Because it's different for everybody. Some people are natural and some people are really nervous, and you know, you can kind of tell just in meeting them. But I think a lot of newborn photographers get caught up in making the perfect newborn image. I mean, I think a lot of photographers in general get caught up in making the perfect image. Yeah. But I think especially with newborns and children, that it's more about making an image that they can look back in 30 years and be like, I remember when you yawned that way and you used to crinkle your nose up. You know, that's my goal, and the way that I approach every newborn session is whatever that child does, if they keep their hands, you know, up in their face, then that's okay with me, because that's beautiful too. You know, it doesn't have to be perfect for it to be compelling and timeless, you know, and be an heirloom for people. So that's the way I really approach it is natural.
I'm wondering because I have, just like you, I got two kids of my own, and we have a 2-year-old, our daughter's two.
Uh-huh.
And literally just like within this past month, I've started seeing in her that she's no longer a baby. You know what I mean? And it's emotional. It's like, oh man, like I miss like when you did this one thing or now that it's Christmas, like last year, even though she was 1 year old, like she would hum Jingle Bells.
Yeah.
And now that she's two, she's like full on singing it, you know? And it just, it's sad to think about, or I guess not sad, but it's like, it's very nostalgic. How do you communicate the importance of those missed moments or missed, not opportunities, but like the how do you communicate that things will be missed and the importance of photography?
Yeah. So that's a good question because I think that not everyone gets that.
Yeah.
and they may not get it, like you may not get it when it's happening, but you get it later, just like the jingle bells, you know, humming jingle bells. I try and convey that to every person that contacts me that I'm going to photograph their baby the way that they are, not in the vision that maybe another newborn photographer may have. My goal is to capture them, you know, and so I try and show that on my website. I try and talk about it on my website as well, that my goal is to capture those moments, not just the beautiful moments, but the crying faces or the, you know, the peeling skin and those things that we're going to take a perfect image that's perfect for the baby, not perfect, you know, necessarily technically. I'm not exactly a documentary photographer, but I'm kind of a mix between, you know, lifestyle and a little pose, but very gentle. But I really try and be very clear. And to be honest, that means that there are some people that don't come to me because of that. And I'm actually okay with that because the last thing I want is to do this session that I think is fantastic and have the parents say, well, you didn't, you know, what about, you know, it's not perfect. I wanted this pose or I wanted something, you know, I don't want them to be unhappy with their images. So if that's something that they really want, then they go, you know, they can go to somebody else and that's okay with me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of new photographers are going to get a lot out of that statement that you just made because there is this feeling in the beginning that you have to be everything to everybody.
Yeah.
And as you're proving right now, that's just not the case. You know, you don't have to be the, I know I'm going to, is it Ann Getty? No, not Ann Getty.
Yeah, Ann Getty, yeah.
Right. I mean, obviously, like, what she creates is incredible.
Yeah, absolutely.
If that's what you love.
Right.
You know, a lot of people just want maybe a photographer just in the home or something. And if you specialize in something, it'll pay off. It'll pay off. So now that we're kind of talking about clients and what clients want, did you find, I want to know how you went about your first paid client, right? Like how did they find you?
Yeah.
How did you book them? Were you nervous? And how did it turn out? Hey, Raymond here. If you're sometimes baffled by which camera settings to use, then I've got just the thing for you. My free guide, Picture Perfect Camera Settings. It's a fantastic starting point for anybody eager to understand the basics of camera settings in various shooting scenarios. And it's tailored to beginners who want to get out of auto mode, providing clear, easy-to-follow suggestions on where to start with your settings. So whether you're capturing a stunning landscape or a family portrait, Picture Perfect Camera Settings will help you to get off of automatic mode and explore the possibilities your camera offers. Remember, mastering photography settings is a journey, and this guide is your first step and the perfect resource to guide you towards finding the right settings for your style. So grab your copy today at perfectcamerasettings.com and start your journey to better photos.
Okay. So I remember the first paid client. And so first I started just portfolio building. I'm from the town that I have my business in. So there's a lot of family and friends that still live around here. So it was fairly easy for me to get started. I know for some people when they you know, they maybe are in a different city where they know no one. And I feel like that's a challenge in and of itself to get that started. But so it was easy for me to get started portfolio building. But I remember the first client that found me from just Google search. And I just remember thinking, oh my gosh, I've arrived. This is amazing. Because I mean, you think you make a website and you take good photographs that they're just going to show up. And that's not necessarily the case. And it's really discouraging, you know, because you think, okay, now that they found me, then they're going to book me and this is going to be great. But that doesn't always happen either. It's like, it's a process. But so it was a family and they actually booked a maternity and a newborn session. And I gave them a fantastic deal. So, I mean,
always in the beginning.
Yeah. But I remember I did their maternity session at a place that was really far from my house. And like, I didn't charge extra for it. And then they wanted their newborn session in their home. And it was a really dark space and it was a dark, rainy day. And they wanted to do it when the husband was home from work. So it was late in the afternoon. And I just remember making all these concessions. And I just remember thinking, okay, this is a lesson learned. It's time, you know, I'm the expert. It's my job to tell them what I can and can't do. And, you know, am I going to make beautiful images at 5 o'clock on a Wednesday when it's a cloudy day and we're getting started? You know, we have to go outside to get enough light. You know, it's like I kind of learned that I need to be a little more assertive. But so, of course, everyone makes mistakes and that's awesome because that means you're learning. Because then I was like, OK, I'm not going to do that again. And then every session after that, I kind of directed things a little bit better. But yeah, that Google search, and then they contacted me and I just thought, wow, this is it. I've made it. And then you think their clients are just going to come in and, you know, it takes a long time. I think it was probably 2.5 years before I finally thought, whew, okay, I'm comfortable. And that was me doing this full time. You know, this is not for someone, you know, someone who's doing another job or, you know, trying to do other things. And it's not going to be, you know, it could take even longer than that.
Hey, Raymond here, and we will get back to today's show in just a moment. I know that you've seen self-proclaimed quote-unquote photography influencers selling Lightroom presets for, you know, $20, $50, or even $100. But here's the thing. Presets are a learning tool and not a one-click solution to fix a bad photo. Well, I want to help you by giving you my 52 free Lightroom presets over at freephotographypresets.com. Use presets to learn editing on your own so that you can create your own signature editing style, not somebody else's. Again, grab your 52 free Lightroom presets today at freephotographypresets.com. Now, back to today's interview. I'm interested, how did the clients feel about their session, like when you delivered the photos?
They were happy with them because, like I said, I really bent over backwards to make them, you know, I did the best that I could in those situations. And I can just remember feeling that like cold sweat you get when you know not. the outdoor session was fine, but the indoor one, and they, like I said, they were very happy with it. But it was, I knew that I could do better if I had directed things a little bit better. So
now, if they weren't happy with it, if they came back and said like, you know what, actually these aren't what we were expecting.
Yeah.
What would you do? What would you have done in that case?
I would retake the pictures. You know, I think it's my responsibility. You know, they don't know that they were my first clients. Of course, I would never have told them that. and it's my responsibility to make sure that they're in the environment that is made for a successful session. So if I didn't make successful images, then that's my responsibility to make it happen. So even if it was not my fault, you know, in terms of like the light was bad or the location wasn't great, it was my responsibility to have directed to make sure that we were in the right location at the right time of day. So if they had come back to me, I would have said, okay, I will be happy to take those again, but we're going to do it on more of my terms, you know, right. and then just make sure that we weren't doing another session again. Now, if it was totally unreasonable, you know, and I think everyone's had unreasonable clients
of course.
In the past, I have refunded people, you know, it doesn't like maybe once I've refunded someone. But you know, you do what it takes to make someone happy and as much as, you know, as much as you possibly can. And there's clients that you're just not a fit with, which is why I try and filter them out at the beginning so that we know ahead of time. There's lots of clients I haven't taken on because I just know it's not going to work out well. But yeah, I would have taken them again or refunded them if they really wanted it, you know, and taken that as a lesson as well.
Right. Yeah. It's a very important lesson. Yes. Very hard lesson. A lot of photographers, myself included, have been in that exact same situation. And I always love hearing from other photographers what they would do, because I remember in the beginning, honestly, probably ego would have gotten in the way and I would have been like, what? You don't like these photos? Like, these are beautiful. Yeah. Like, what do you like? Do you not see the perfect like grain structure or something like that? You know, and then I would have taken it personally. But now, obviously, coming to the understanding that photography is, it's not a product. It's 100% a service.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if the product isn't technically perfect, the service has to be perfect.
Absolutely.
And giving them that second session is a very small price to pay. So when you delivered that first session, I'm sure that at the time you were like, these photos rock. Like, these are great photos. But yeah. Looking back, like most of us, we probably look and kind of cringe, right? So now looking back and seeing the work of others, what would you say is the sign of an amateur newborn photographer? There are two ways to bring home more money with your photography business. You either get more clients or you spend less of the money that you make. CloudSpot Studio helps you keep more of what you earn. With the lowest payment processing fees in the industry, the average photographer will save $300 annually. And that's just more money to invest in essential gear like a new flash or a sweet camera bag. You know, one that is perfect for storing all of the wedding day snacks that you can pack. But it's not just about savings. CloudSpot Studio is designed to streamline your workflow. Easily organize shoots, send contracts, questionnaires, invoices, and you're really going to enjoy the hassle-free payments. So sign up for a free CloudSpot account at deliverphotos.com. And as a bonus, you're going to get access to my exclusive wedding and portrait contracts and questionnaires at no additional cost. Why let fees chip away at your profits? Empower your photo journey with CloudSpot and watch your business soar.
That's a good question. I would say that editing is a really, really big part of that. I think that you can take a good image. It may not be technically perfect, but you know, you can still take a good image, but if you edit it incorrectly or heavy-handedly, then that is probably the most obvious sign of someone. And that's speaking from absolute experience where my images were very heavy handed in the beginning.
Trust me, I got plenty of questions about editing later on. So I'm glad to hear that, that we're about to start on the right track for sure. Now, the next question that I want to ask is definitely business related, right? So you as a newborn photographer have a very narrow window of shooting time for newborns. How do you deal with attracting the new clients and then the opportunity to, or I guess especially when the opportunity to photograph their newborn is so short?
Yeah. So I'm lucky that a lot of people refer me. So a lot of people who have come, you know, previously, and I'll find that, you know, someone's having a baby and then all their friends are sort of having babies. So I'll get a whole bunch of referrals from one person in like a year and a half or something. And then I don't hear from them for a while. And then maybe another year goes by and then they're having their second baby. And then I get more referrals from them. So I do see people. I photograph families. I don't photograph families as much, but I do really love that first year and 5 years and younger. I really love as well. So a lot of times people will come back to me, but Google has been really important to finding those clients as well. I actually found out how much it important it was is because Google changed something in their algorithm around March of this year, and all of a sudden things tanked. Like my inquiries tanked, and I didn't realize. I mean, luckily it was fall and busy season, and you know, it kind of like I didn't feel the effects right away. However, then I had to kick it into gear and figure out how to rise back up again. And luckily I found someone who's been fantastic, but it's so then stressful.
Yeah, of course. I guess kind of what I'm trying to get at here is one, how much time, about how old are the babies when you photograph them?
Sorry. Yeah, I got
it. No, it's fine. It's just because it's like, you know, with a wedding, somebody's engaged, they're automatically in the market for a wedding photographer, and they have like a year to a year and a half before it's time to actually do the shoot. When it comes to newborns, you really only have like a few weeks before you got to do that. So then finding the people beforehand has got to be tough. How do you, is there anything that you do in particular to handle that?
So the first 2 weeks is when I'm trying to get them in, and generally I rarely get clients that come to me after the baby's already born. The people that are coming to me are the ones that are prepared. They know that they have a budget, that you know, or what their budget is. They find someone that they love, you know, and so they're coming to me 2, 3, and 4 months in advance to schedule their session. And then I'm reserving a date on that calendar. But I would say that a lot of it starts with someone looking for a maternity photographer. And then maybe my maternity imagery doesn't necessarily speak to them, or sometimes it does, but then they sort of have me on that back burner. And they know to come to me for a for a newborn portrait. So I would say that a lot of my clients don't do both with me. A lot of people choose, maybe they're going to a different maternity photographer. My maternity work is a little different than my newborn work. So I don't always get overlap between the two, like the person that loves my maternity work, but they're kind of like looking at the same time, you know? So, but I would say I don't get many last minute bookings. It's all those people that have planned like months in advance and they know what they're looking for. They have a very specific style they're attracted to. And then it's just about whether I can meet their needs, you know, whether it's financially or products or, you know, whatever that may be.
Yeah, that makes sense. Hook them while they're still pregnant. And then obviously you're going to keep their attention. That totally makes sense. Now, you mentioned there that your maternity photos are a bit different than your newborn photos.
Yeah.
Can you explain how that is and why that is?
Yes. So the maternity I do is very, so when someone's pregnant, I found that they generally don't feel, they're beautiful. There are some people that feel really great pregnant, but I would say most women generally don't. Mm-hmm. So my goal is to make them look and feel absolutely beautiful. And so that is, we provide dresses and hair and makeup, and it's a little more styled.
I see.
And so my newborn portraits are very simple and clean, and white is like the main color that I use in them, and creams and things like that. So the woman who wants this really gorgeous, glamorous, styled maternity session doesn't necessarily want a really simple newborn session. But that's just what I'm attracted to. And I've tried to do the more styled newborns, and that's just not me. And I tried to do the more simple maternity, and I can do simple maternity, but really, I feel like what you love is what you do the best. And so I've just found that I love the styled maternity and I love the simple newborn. And so they just
don't. That's interesting. Because, you know, like looking at your Instagram, like totally makes sense. I totally get exactly what you're saying about how much production time goes into a maternity session and how I don't want to say laid back, but how much more simple a newborn session is. And looking at the two, for some reason, maybe just because I'm not in this genre of photography, but they don't seem so opposing. They don't seem so opposing. I really like your style, you know, like your take on them, because I see a consistency throughout. And it's just cool to see that even from you saying that you're shooting two completely different things, putting your own touch on it gives it like your signature look. I like that a lot.
Yeah, thank
you. Of course. I'm assuming that you do your maternity sessions in studio, since you're doing lots of hair and makeup and dresses. Is that right?
Yeah, for the most part, everything's done in studio. I do have I have some acreage off the side of my studio that I actually can go and do. So sometimes we'll do indoors and outdoors in a session, mm-hmm. which is nice. But most everything's done in studio. So
there's a lot of photographers, when they first got started, myself included, thinking that having a studio is like the dream, right? Like having a place to go, this is going to be the coolest. I can shoot whatever I want. But obviously it can be like, it's an expense. It can be very expensive.
Sure.
So how did you decide to open a studio? And when do you know is the right time to take that leap of faith financially?
So I kind of started in a roundabout way. I asked to rent the space on a single time basis from a local studio that I loved their style. I thought it was really cool, but they didn't rent out their space. And they told me, you know, we don't do rentals or anything. And then several months later, they reached back out and said, hey, we've kind of thought about it. We're really only in our studio a couple days a week. Would you be interested in renting our space like on an as needed basis, but you would be the only other photographer that rents our space? And they do boudoir. So they, you know, they were like, as long as you're not doing boudoir, we're okay with that. And so, which I had no interest in doing anything other than maternity and newborn. Although I did start doing boudoir maternity after being in their space, because I was so inspired by, you know, what they were doing that I just couldn't help it. But, so I was just doing it on a basis like, I need it one or two times a month or three times a month or no times a month. And they were fine with that because they were an established business. They didn't really need my business, but,
just income.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. So that's how I started. And then it really built my style. Like, I credit them a lot for how I developed as a photographer, because I fell in love with, because previous to that, I was just going to people's homes and doing sessions outside. And I found that I loved just being in a bright white space that was, I could do anything with. And then I was there for like a year and a half, and I just felt like I needed my own space, like where I could hang my own stuff up on the walls. And so I found another space, and it was it was like a 1200 square foot studio, and they had a meeting area and they had a huge shooting area. But what I could afford after I left there was a 13 by 13 square foot. So like 160 square feet, something like that, with like no closet. It was literally like, the chairs had to open up so you could hide stuff inside of it. And, you know, it was just like, if I wanted to make a bed, I had to have the couch was also a futon that I made into a bed. You know, it was just like, okay, can you guys step outside so I can rearrange things and then come back in so that we can, you know, finish your newborn session. but it was all I could afford. And, you know, ended up being a kind of a bit of a disaster with the landlord. So less than a year later, I had moved out and found a really big space that I was happy with. And so it sort of just happened incrementally. So if you were starting out, I would say find someone to share it with, but, you know, find someone that you can trust to share it with and do it right. Make sure you both have leases so that you're not getting left holding the bag if that person leaves or, you know, but do it small. Certainly don't jump in with 2 feet because you don't want to get into a position like my second studio, which was really the one that was my first foray into renting commercial space, ended very badly. And it was very expensive. And I ended up having to hire a lawyer. It was a very unhappy experience. Yeah.
Well, with that second studio,
yeah,
talking about how small it is, right? And how you had to ask clients to like walk out of the room so that you could yeah. fix something. I want to know, because a lot of photographers are going to think like, you know, if I don't have this 3,000 square foot studio, I'm not going to be taken seriously. Did any of your clients feel like that was strange that you had a small place or feel negatively about it?
No, I don't think so at all. I think I maybe had a little bit of just, especially after having been in the big space and with lots of room to move around, I felt a little just strange about moving, downgrading so much. But it was really nice to just, you know, I don't think they ever felt anything bad about it.
Good.
I don't think you need anything amazing.
Right.
I personally, I've never worked out of my home. I know some photographers start by like a home studio, but I think a little space is perfectly fine, especially if you can get lots of variety with it, you know, and as long as you're getting those beautiful images, who cares, you know?
Yeah. It's good to know just because it's like, it's one of those, you know, I guess it's just an ego type thing. Again, you feel like you got to be a big shot photographer.
Sure.
You got to have a big studio or something. That's good to hear. I want to know now, so now you have the studio, right? What is next to running a successful photography studio? Like how do you keep the doors open? And was there anything that was a surprise to you?
Yeah. So the next part is really getting those clients to keep coming back to you, especially if you have a very specific style, then they don't always want the same images year after year. So coming up with ways to give them something new and different and exciting is really important. I also think that the hardest thing for me was understanding that this business is highs and it's lows. Mm-hmm. And the highs are usually really high, which if you're a family photographer, it's fall usually, you know, depending on what part of the country you're in, that can be different times of the year. But also to understand that there's going to be times when you get no inquiries and you get no bookings, and to not change everything just because you're not booking all those clients. I think in the beginning, I'd hear no. And I was never really low priced. I was always a sustainable business. I was always priced to feed my family. And so I would hear no a lot. I heard no a lot from the very beginning. And I, whenever that would happen, for a while, like let's say I would go a month and I wasn't really booking much. It was really low booking. And I thought, okay, I got to change my pricing. Everything has to change because I must be doing something wrong. And I think instead of going out and making more opportunities, chasing and doing marketing and like chasing those clients, I was just like sitting behind my computer, changing my pricing again. You know, I think it's really hard to get out there and network and meet clients and really, you know, find clients. And otherwise, you know, you just think they're going to show up and they don't always, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Important to go and get those people.
Was there any sort of, I guess before I continue, I just read this quote, I don't remember where, but I thought it applies perfectly to photography. And it's that obviously photography is a luxury, right? And when it comes to, I don't know if you heard that. It sounds like there's a plane like landing right outside of my house, right?
No, I didn't hear it.
Okay, good.
If you hear a tornado, that's what's going on in my neck of the woods today.
If I just see you running, I will understand for sure. At first, I actually thought that it was you, and then my lights started shaking. I was like, what is this? Anyway.
Maybe we're both getting tornadoes.
That would be a terrible day, day. But this quote that I heard applied specifically towards luxury brands, and it's that, a lot of people go to Porsche dealerships just to look at Porsches, right? But to the salesman, all that he hears all day is no, right? Because people are just looking. They're just interested. They want to be around this because it's beautiful. But according to that salesman, he makes like no sales, right? Like 90% of the people who come to him don't buy any cars.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that you have to change everything. It just means that the people who are coming to you aren't the right people.
Right.
And soon enough, you have to have that faith to just keep going, and then you're going to make that sale.
I think that the thing that was, so my husband is very numbers based. And mm-hmm. so anytime I would go home and cry or, you know, say, I'm never going to book another client, he'd say, listen, you have to book one client. Some of these other photographers have to book six to make what you make with one client. He's like, not mm-hmm. every client is going to be your client, and you have to be okay with that. And that was really a really hard, hard lesson to learn, but it has served me well, because now when I hear no, that's okay. Maybe it's no for now and they come back later. Maybe it's just, you know, that they haven't seen the value in it, and maybe, you know, maybe they never will. And that's okay. Not everyone sees what I do is valuable or thinks that I'm worth it. And there's other photographers out there that are in their price range, and that's okay too.
Yeah, but absolutely. Yeah,
hearing no is hard.
It can be hard. It yeah. can be hard. So now I want to switch gears once again, kind of away from the business. And now we're going to go back to editing. Okay. We talked about that a little bit before. So in the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook group, it's a group of beautiful, wonderful, lovely people who I love so much.
Yeah.
Now, there are some members in there who struggle a lot with editing when it comes to newborns, right?
Okay.
Skin tones that are both pale and really red at the same time, right? And often yeah. you can see lots of veins in babies. Do you have any tips for editing to help beginners?
Yes. Okay. So I'm a very simple editor. I don't love editing, so I try and do less. Just
Same
because,
here.
Yeah, okay. I don't want to spend hours in front of my computer. I've never loved that. I end up doing it anyways, doing other stuff, but not editing. So the two things that I found are the most important is, number one, get your color right from the beginning. So one thing I do before any session is I have this little thing called it's a color checker. You could do it with a gray card, but I like the X-Rite color checker because it has like a whole bunch of different colors on there. So that later when you are editing, you just click your, I use Lightroom to start mm-hmm. with. You use your little eyedropper in Lightroom and you choose the black, and that gives you the perfect color. And the other thing is exposure. If your exposure is off, then your color is never going to be the way that you want it to be. Now you can underexpose as a style and then get the color the way you want it, or you can overexpose as a style and get the color the way you want it. But if you're really trying to get that really clean, accurate color, it helps to start with really good exposure. So once I learned to expose correctly, or, you know, expose correctly when I was editing, and get that color correct, then editing was way easier. You know, it just all of a sudden kind of fell into line. You didn't have to do all that much.
Yeah.
But that was the hardest part. So I still, to this day, keep my color checker next to my beanbag, and I start with that every time. So I make sure I have perfect color.
Yeah. Do you deal very much with and the only reason why I know this is because when our son was first born, 6 years ago, probably 6 years ago, like last week, is when I took his first like baby photos, and they were terrible. They reminded me like, oh, I'm terrible at this. I'm never going to do this again.
Yeah.
There were a lot of like veins
yeah,
and different
sure.
Variations in skin.
Sure.
Do you do anything for that?
Yeah, I do. So I still keep things pretty natural. One thing that really bothers me is sometimes you see this with photographers, newborn photographers in general, every baby looks like it's the same ethnicity and color
yeah.
and texture. And you're like, wait a minute, that's, you know, that baby's not supposed to be perfectly peachy pink. It's like more of a, you know, a darker skin or a lighter mm-hmm. skin. So I do try and keep it pretty accurate, but a couple things that I don't love is like a lot of redness in their skin. So I will increase the luminance in Lightroom and the HSL panel. I increase that luminance, and usually I decrease the saturation just a little tiny bit in red. And then the other thing I'm looking for is like if they're jaundiced. Some babies, they don't look jaundiced when you're photographing them, but then when you go mm-hmm. to edit the image, you're like, was that like,
how did I not
yeah,
see this?
Yeah, that baby looks like a little yellow, you know, I don't understand how I didn't notice that. But something yeah. about the way they photograph is just different. So I'm always looking for jaundice kind of jaundice babies, and then you'll remove the yellow in the HSL panel. So the saturation usually comes down a lot on yellow babies, and then the luminance comes up some too. So once I've done those like basic corrections, then I usually go into Photoshop and I use something called portraiture. And that is really helpful. You can make adjustments on every baby, and then I usually batch edit just, and I do it very lightly, like a very soft, light edit, because I don't want to lose all their texture and color. And then if there's any like really big newborns get like pimples, I don't usually get rid of flaky skin, but if it's in a really, like if it's one big flake in the middle of their forehead or something silly like that, just totally distracting, then I get rid of those as well. I do not get rid of, they have something called stork bites. I don't know if your children had those, but like a little tiny red spot that sometimes is like on their eyelids or eyebrows or foreheads.
Oh, no.
They don't usually last forever, but they're usually there for a while. And so I don't remove anything that's going to be there longer than 2 weeks. So those usually stay on there as well. Even if it's, you know, a big one in the middle of their eye, I just, that's the baby. That's who they are.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then once I do portraiture and I kind of just clean up any like really distracting, parts of the baby, that I'm done. And you'll see if you look at my work, like there's babies, there's some that are pinker and there's some that are yellower, and that's just, that's who they are. So I try not to take away from them too much.
I think it shows. I think that you do a great job. Is that like an action within Photoshop?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's a plugin. It's an additional plugin that you purchase.
I'll be sure to link to all that stuff in the show notes.
Good.
I just wanted to.
It's not super cheap, but it is invaluable. I use it on almost every session, so it's definitely worth its cost. I've never regretted that purchase. Of all the things I've regretted from purchasing, that's not one of them.
There seems to be a lot of those when it comes to photography.
Yes.
Those, like, has there ever been anything that you thought that like, oh, I have to have this. I absolutely have to have this, and then you got it and you never touched it again?
Yeah. I do that with, I do that a lot with gear, and I'm sure that a lot of photographers do that. I think when I first started, like whenever I first start something, I have this habit of getting really excited about it and buying all the gear. And I like to buy all the best gear because, I mean, if it's going to break in a month, what's the point of, you know, that's wasted money. So I might as well buy something that's pretty good. So, I mean, maybe not the best gear, but so I would say studio lights. I think it's really important to have good studio lights. However, you don't need 4 studio lights when you've never done it before, which is exactly what I went out and did and bought 4 really expensive and then all the modifiers before you even know. And right now I use 2, you know, and it's like it wasn't a waste of money, but it was definitely, I could have saved that money a little bit and waited till I need it. I think like it's important. And one thing I am trying to do is as I grow is to grow out of something, you know, so buy one light, learn how to use it, learn what you can do with it before you go out and buy the next one or the next one, you know, and then that way you kind of know. It's the same thing with cameras. You don't need to buy the best camera. Just learn the one you have until you know the limitations of that camera, and then you buy the next one, because otherwise, you know, it's not a waste of money, but it's kind of is if you don't know what you're doing, lots of stuff. I do that at probably, you know, little things all the time.
It's easy with the little things. It's easy with the little things. And
I would
I'm
say
glad
one
to
thing,
hear.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go
one,
ahead.
One thing is I don't buy a lot of actions, but I would say two or three times a year, I'll buy actions and I always use them and I think, oh, this is nice. And then I immediately go back to what I was doing before, my own style. Yeah. So, I think once you have something that you love and speaks to you, it's okay to, you know, I guess buy those things, but with the idea that, you know, don't, not that actions are bad. I think actions are great for helping you figure out your style. But you don't need to buy every action. It's not going to make you a better photographer. It's not going to make you a better editor. You know, you only do so much. So you know, I would say that's probably the one thing that I've done the most of, where every time I buy it, I try it on three pictures and I'm like, what am I doing this again for?
That's hilarious. That's definitely going to be one of the memorable quotes from this episode for sure, is that the actions aren't going to change your photography.
No.
So I think I want to know, like, talking there about gear, we talked about the gear that we don't need.
Yeah.
Now I want to know, if you had to do, how much gear do you actually need to get started photographing newborns? And obviously I know that safety here is an important issue. Is there anything also that's not photography related that, that you would suggest investing in?
Yeah. So I would say that in the beginning, a good in-person newborn workshop is kind of invaluable, even if it's not, like, I remember when I first started, I took a newborn class from a newborn photographer who was very well established, and beautiful work, absolutely gorgeous work. But I knew from the beginning, I knew when I booked the workshop that her style was not what I wanted to do, what did not speak to me. But I wanted to learn the finer points of working with babies, how she soothes them, you know, those kinds of things that it's hard. You certainly don't want to make a mistake on a newborn that comes to you. You want to be pretty comfortable around them to start with. So that was really important to kind of, I think, like one good in-person workshop. And I say in-person because I know a lot of them are online now, and that's fine. But I think that there's something to be said for just seeing somebody in person and really, you know, getting around a baby that, you know, they don't always sleep right away. They don't always settle down. Some of them, you know, startle really easily, and you, figuring out how to work with those little issues so you don't freak out the first time it happens to you is really, really important. I don't think you need much gear. I pretty much shoot my entire newborn sessions with just, I have a Nikon D850, which is, which I love that camera, but you don't need, I mean, there's lots that it does that I don't need for a newborn session. I would say a prime lens is really nice. I personally love, I have a Sigma 35mm, one of the art series that I have used since I started, that I still use at every single newborn session. And if I want to get, you know, it allows you to focus really close. So like, it doesn't take macro images. I do use a macro lens, but before I had one, I could get up really close on baby and it would almost simulate a macro lens on it as well.
Wow.
So I didn't have to buy, you know, a whole bunch of lenses, and I just sort of bought them as I could afford them. But yeah, I would say a prime lens, or, you know, if you're a zoom person, that's okay. I would say the 24-70 is probably a good lens. I've personally never shot newborns with it, but I know that some newborn photographers do, and it's nice to have, you know, the versatility of zoom in and zoom out kind of.
Yeah. What do you think about like lighting? Do you think that newborn photographers need to go all in with flash work, or is natural light more than enough?
Yeah, I think natural light's more than enough, especially when you're just working with one baby on a beanbag. You don't need, you know, you're not stopping down to 3.5, and you know, so you could be at 2.8 or, you know, even 1.8 if you like that look. So it's okay to not have a ton of light. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
You don't, you know, you're not lighting 10 people in a group, and you need, you know, you need to have everyone in focus. You just need the eyes in focus on a baby. And so, yeah, I think a window, but I would say that you want to make sure the light is filtered. So you don't want a window that has direct light. You want a window that has nice, soft light. So I would avoid west facing if you're shooting in the afternoon, because you have that sun coming in, and east facing in the morning. So if you really, the best light is always on the north and the south.
Gotcha.
And
good tips.
Yeah. A little bit of, I use like a sheer fabric. And if I was going to someone's home, I would just use painter's tape and tape it up around the window, or even clip it. If they had like a curtain, you know, then I could clip it down. Yeah. And that would allow me to get enough light, filter the light enough. You don't want really harsh shadows, harsh lights on baby's face. You do want some shadowing. So generally I'm placing baby like parallel to the window, but yeah, I don't think you need a lot. I personally don't use strobes on newborns. I've kind of thought about it because I feel like the light is very clean and it's so much easier to control, but I don't know that I love flashing with a newborn yet. I haven't quite, gotten that. Lots of people do it. I just haven't gotten comfortable with that yet. So,
right. Yeah, that makes sense. And we've talked about your skill, right? Everything that you've learned over the years. If you had to start over again today, right? Like today, your husband's like, hey, you know what? I hate this job. I don't want to do it anymore. And you said, I want to start a photography business. Is there something that you would do differently today to get to where you are faster?
I would say that if you know who you are and what you want, to not fuss around with doing any other kind of photography. I think it's okay to you want to test things a little bit, but, I think I was pretty good at this, but I think I could have done better at just, you know, I'm only going to do newborns and maternity and young families, and don't mess around with the extended families or the reunions or I've never shot a wedding and I never will. That takes a very special kind of person. And I am not that kind of person. I don't handle stress well.
stress, there's cake. Every day you show up, there's cake. What's stressful about that?
I wish that, yeah, cake would be nice. But yeah, I'm not good at that. I wasn't even good at my own wedding when I had it, let alone photographing it.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious. So figure out what it is that you love and then just don't
do
waver.
It. Yeah. Don't fuss around with anything else, because the sooner that you make a niche for yourself, the sooner you're going to attract the kind of clients that you want. And if you're not showing people that niche, or you're showing things that you don't love, then it's going to take longer to get to that point. So
of course,
the sooner you can decide what you want, and it's not to say it can't change. It's just that, you need to know what you want. So.
Yeah. Is there any rules or information that you hear being taught to new photographers that you think is just like bad information?
Ooh. I would say that I have seen some things about whether you're all inclusive or if you sell prints and products afterwards, that sometimes it makes me cringe a little bit. I think that as long as you're a sustainable business, I don't care if you're, as long as you're pricing yourself so that you don't go out of business in a year, that I don't care what you do, I think that sometimes it bothers me the way that I personally am a session fee, and then they purchase products and their digital files and whatever afterwards. And I love that. I don't want to be all inclusive, but I think sometimes the way that those two groups fight, it's not necessarily something that they're teaching wrong, but the people that believe you should only sell products believe that the people that aren't selling products are the worst, and the people that aren't selling products seeing that the people that are selling products are the worst. And it's just like, as long as you have a sustainable business, like, I don't care. Yeah. You know, just price yourself so that you can stay in business, and that's all that matters. So I would say that that's like the one thing that maybe bothers me, is that there's such conflict between the two and everyone thinks that they're the right one. So
that's great. That's great advice. And obviously, I mean, that's why there's, what do they say? That's why there's Ford, Dodge, and Chevy. Like, it doesn't, that you can make your own decision if you want to. I love it. Well, Allison, is there anything that, I didn't ask you about today that you want to make sure that the listener knows before we wrap this up?
I think just maybe one thing, not that you didn't ask me, but that I just would love to say, is that there's still times when I'm nervous and stressed and like in a session, but you'll never know it. And I think that it's as a beginning photographer, I wish that I had known that everyone, every photographer goes through moments when they don't know what they're going to do and they are not sure how to proceed and they're just flying by the seat of their pants. Like, there's no photographer out there that does not have a moment where they're like, oh, crap.
I don't know what to do here.
Yeah. And yeah. I think as when I was beginning, you know, I didn't realize that even those best photographers, you know, they're flying by the seat of their pants a little bit too. So there's, you know, you just figure it out. I think that the only way to figure it out is to, you know, to just go with it,
just,
you know?
To do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I feel like
that's
something that I just wish I had realized sooner, that it's never, you're never going to be completely comfortable.
And I still show up before.
This.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. I still show up before every single wedding and I always show up early and I will just sit there in my car for like 10 minutes and I just have the worst butterflies.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, what if there's like no windows inside? What if there's no this? What if this goes wrong?
Yeah.
What if, you know, the mother of the bride is like not a nice person, and I just always put myself through these, you know, stupid exercises.
Yeah.
that mean nothing.
Right.
And, you know, as I'm sure you can attest to, as time goes on, it gets less and less, but there's still something there.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you for sharing that. That's going to be a really powerful moment for a lot of listeners today to pick up on that.
Okay.
Before I let you go, Allison, can you please tell the listeners where they can find you online?
Okay. Well, I am Allison Winteroth on Instagram, and my last name has double R's, so it's Winteroth. And I am on Facebook, but I'm not too active on it. So really, if you wanted to find me, Instagram's a great place, or my website, which is AllisonWinteroth.com.
Hey, do me a favor right now. If you're listening, swipe up in whatever podcast player you're listening to, or just click on the show notes, and then there will be a link for you to go to the website to see the show notes and just check out some examples of Allison's newborn and maternity work. It's beautiful, and it's something that I think, you know, you could look at and really appreciate. You can see that it's timeless. You know, it's not something that is going to fall out of style in the future. It's something that it's photography that I know is going to stand the test of time. And she just is a really good example of that. And when it comes to newborn photography, that can be hard, you know. So swipe up, click the link, head over to the show notes, and you can see some examples of Allison's work. Allison, if you're listening right now, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, especially in the middle of, you know, a potential hurricane. That is just insane to me. And your dedication is there. And again, thank you so much for coming on and sharing everything that you did. I really enjoyed our chat, and I know that the listeners did as well. So right now, I just want to take a quick second to read a iTunes review this week. iTunes reviews are something that really help the podcast, and I truly appreciate them. So this week's iTunes review comes from Monty2431. And Monty says, since I was in high school, I wanted to be a photographer, but everyone around me told me that I needed a real job. So for the past 40 years, I have been doing something that I have not enjoyed. After watching many hours of your podcast in the last few days, I'm assuming on YouTube, I have decided to get into photography one way or the other. Thanks for the great podcast. Monty, wow. I can tell you right now that review is going to resonate with a lot of people because I was there. You know, I heard plenty of people tell me that either cinematography and photography was, you know, not a real job and that I should do something that was more quote unquote stable. And I'm so glad that you know, you put in that time and you realize that it was not what you wanted, it was not making you happy, and now you are pursuing something that is making you happy through photography. And I am, like, elated that this podcast is helping you, I don't know if it helped you realize that, but that it's helping you, that it's helping push you in the direction that you want to go, that is going to make you happy. So again, Monty, thank you so much for that 5-star review. That really does mean a whole lot to me. And if you're listening, you know, the price of this podcast is absolutely free. You know, if you're listening on iTunes right now, you listen to this absolutely free. And I'm so grateful for each and every review that we get here on the podcast. And if you haven't left a review, I just want to ask if you would consider it. Again, it really helps out the podcast, and that's it. That's all that I can say. So thank you so much for everybody who does leave a review in iTunes or whatever podcast player you're listening to. So that is it for this week. Join me again next week when we tackle the ever-changing world of SEO and blogging, and specifically why blogging doesn't have to be so hard and the mistakes that a lot of new photographers make when it comes to blogging. So until then, get out there, keep shooting, stay safe, focus on yourself, and that's it. All right, I'll see you next time. I love you all.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, please leave us a review in iTunes or your favorite podcast player. And continue the conversation with Raymond and other listeners of the podcast by joining the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook group today. Thank you. We'll see you again next week.